This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you, so just dance.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Friday afternoon. I got a story to tell. I feel like Biggie. It's too much. I just want to be able to come in here, tiptoe in here. Let me just be as decent as possible and say, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. It is a shakeup at the Immigration Department to get a new director. Atlantis is now happy to see the RCI project proceed. Also, you got to be able to keep your eyes out and what's going on with Hurricane Lee. I see that it's intensified significantly over the past few days and hours and whatnot. So make sure you check that out. Hurricane Lee, not expected to impact the Bahamas, but make sure you watch it. Talk to me. Because Hurricane Andrew was in support. Well, let me be decent and don't charge the atmosphere with these things. But just watch and pray and make sure we get these things taken care of. Three people were shot. Deputy Prime Minister declares slow tourism season a thing of the past. This is bananas. I just got to touch this today. Just a little taste today. You know, today's the line's going to be wide open as we chop these things down and get into it today. I am grateful for you to be here. I'm going to put the numbers out. And also, there's a great deal of buzz about the possibility of being able to see Atlantis sold for $2.5 billion. This is what they want to be able to sell the resort for. This billion is just kind of flying around now. This is crazy. FTX CEO pleads guilty to criminal charges. This is absolutely bananas. Visitors ensure that it's set for best year yet. This is Atlantis executives. Anticipated 2023 will be the best year in the resort's history. I'm going to talk a little taste about those things, but I just want to let you know that the indecency that exists in there, because I said at the introduction, this is Friday, right? And as you guys are out there getting yourselves prepared, as you creep closer to the weekend, hopefully you take that check this weekend and do the right thing with it. I'm getting your business. I'm simply saying your car still needs insurance. Check my good friends down there at AFS out. AFS Insurance and Brokers, 341-AFS. 341-1AFS. They can be able to assist you with that. Check my good guy, Ethric Bowie. He didn't show up yesterday. Ethric, you didn't show up yesterday. I'm not going to fight you. Let's be able to make these things happen. Listen, man. let's talk like this. What's a wild thing is that it's Friday, right? And, you know, we get a little area in my house. I don't know if you have any of these areas. We have a little area in the house where you put the keys and your, you know, your little change and everything like that in the basket. So it's kind of a neutral spot. It's important that you have these things. A lot of persons may not necessarily have this. You leave the keys in your pants pocket. You leave the keys all over the place like that. And if something happened in the evening, you're trying to figure out where your keys is tomorrow morning when you're late for things, you can't find your keys. Make sure you put your keys in one central location. So I got my wallet in the basket. I wake up this morning, my wallet stretched from east to west. Stretch out wide like a Barbie doll legs. It's too much, right? So I look at what's going on? I call my wife. I say, hey, what's up, baby? She said, because she left earlier than me. She say, I'm good. How you doing? Right? So I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. Did you take any money out of my wallet? How much money? Right? How much money? Right? So I said, I think I'm missing about, because I took like $100 on the bike, right? So I said, I think I'm missing about $20-something. No, hold on. I didn't take $11. So I say, hold on. You thiefing for me? She said, hold on. You call this thiefing, you round me for a little petty thing. I said, you know what? Keep that. Keep it. Because I was going to buy you Kong. You're going to buy me Kong salad anyway? Hold on. It's a wild weekend. Some people may not have Kong salad this weekend. Let's just put it out there. In your indecency, in your spirit, I want to be decent with you as we continue to be able to do that. Guys, I wanted to open it up on the like note. As we get deeper into some heavy conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300, 5720, or you can hit me up 422-4796. In the studio with me is my very good friend. He's been on hiatus. This man been around the world and he's been all over the place traveling. Between me and him, we haven't been able to collide in this space for a little while, and I'm grateful to be able to have him in the studio. None other than Garth Roseboro. Garth, say good afternoon to the Bohemian people, man. All those persons listening. All I gotta be as decent as possible because we got people all in the States listening to us. Garth, say good afternoon to the people out there listening, man.
Yeah, that's true, Howard. Good day, everyone. Good day, Atlanta. And you got folks in South Carolina. You got folks from Texas, Michigan, all over Florida, all through the Caribbean. So, you know, you're making waves, the foundation. And I think it's really because people are looking for solutions. People are looking for the standard. And there are not many hosts, not many shows currently in the world who maintain the standard, which is the best practice ever. We're simply a world that is looking for these answers, and it is very difficult to find. So those people who find the foundation, who come and tune in every day from 12 to 2, with you, Howard Grant, they find it refreshing. And I just want to encourage you to continue the good work. I want to thank the Guardian staff for allowing such a program to exist. But more importantly, you, the listeners, you know, got to keep calling in. You got to keep supporting. You got to keep strengthening the ideas so that we can continue to preserve our country, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and move to a better day.
Absolutely, my brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate all this. And good morning, Howard. That would be a lighthearted welcome show to hear the funny stories of couples calling in from wherever. That might be a cussing show. We got to take more time to do that because what you may consider funny might not necessarily be funny to your significant other. So we can be able to put that out there. But I like the idea. We're going to be able to consider that. I got to have a relationship show. But we're steadily having conversations about the relationships that the Bahamian people have with its government. On Tuesday, Garth, I had an in-depth show. I believe it was an in-depth show. I listened back to it, and I said, okay, this was a good show. On Tuesday, I sat and just talked about the reshuffle and the perpetual strategy that the POP is putting out to really be able to position itself to find it moving towards another term come 2026 or sooner. And I want to talk like this today because you and I haven't had an opportunity to be able to talk politics for a little while. I want to talk like this today. I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about the lackluster counter strategy or lack thereof from what I see within the Free National Movement. I see Dwayne Sands in his particular capacity. You know, a lot of persons had, ill will towards what their expectations were with the former chairman of the organization, which was Carl Kulmer, right? And said that he was unable to kind of stand on his feet and speak, but he would always give you press releases, right? If you look at the contrast between the press releases of what Carl Kulmer would have done within his first 18 months to 2 years in comparison to what we've seen come out from Dwayne Sands, I think Carl Kulmer exponentially exceeds his position in being able to speak with this sort of this passion and the strength and position of the Free National Movement in comparison to what we've seen Dwayne Sands do. Talk to me about it. I just want to kind of put these things out there and have a very clear conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are going to be open today, and we're going to dive into some politics and some socio-political and socio-economic issues and conversations today. Garth, I just want to kind of put that out there because the reshuffle happened. Talk to me, Garth. The reshuffle happened.
Mm-hmm. There was some large-scale curiosity as to it happening, as to who would be shuffled and why. I don't believe that many people are surprised, however, as to the shuffle. Maybe a Clay Sweeting moving to the Ministry of Works is a surprise. I did not see that coming. What I did see coming, though, was a friend and neighbor, former, schoolmate, Keith Bell, moving to housing. And I'd said to several people, I do not believe that would be a good move, only because I know that Keith Bell was affiliated with Arawak Homes. And I figured that if you're going to put him into housing, I think the Wilson Group, Arawak Homes, are some of the more forward and strongest of the housing developers in the country. I would not want any clash of interest to take place in housing, because we just had a huge ball of confusion with immigration. And so it would be kind of difficult for under scrutinizing eyes was to stay really, clean.
Was it really confusion, or this is you trying to be diplomatically correct? I think it was very clear what it was.
You're right. I'm trying to be diplomatic today.
It's been
a minute still, I want to heat up after the House resumes, if I may. But I would say simply that the immigration situation is really ugly. What I see there with Mrs. Ferguson is a person who is a Bahamian at heart, who wants to do their job properly, and who is being caught in the firing line. And as said here in the paper, Mr. Davis speaks, our Prime Minister speaks about the divulging of information from the department as it were a breach of public trust. But at the same time, the Bahamian people were very excited to have such information, because this whole idea of accountability and transparency that they often campaign on is definitely not existent. And so to see Ms. Ferguson take a stand as a Bahamian and say, you know what, this is threatening, this is actually scary.
This is going to be a quick 2 hours today. This is going to be a quick 2 hours today. It's your phone or my phone? Your phone. You got Queen playing in the background. You're doing too much, sir.
Yeah.
Right? This is going to be a quick 2 hours today.
Go ahead.
Let me explain to you something.
Yes.
Everyone continues to rant and rave about this concept and idea of Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
Right? The Democratic National Alliance, the DNA, this was one of the crux of the matters. You remember Branville would always come to the forefront and have a conversation about medicinal cannabis, marijuana, the opportunity to be able to expand into different industries, to be able to look at that diversity and to be able to strengthen whether the Ombudsman and also the Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
That conversation perpetuated, mushroomed, blew up, and it led into formality. Those that are actually in government taking on this charge to speak to it, right?
Uh-huh.
No one ever did anything about it.
Do they really want to?
I'm going to tell you right now. Because this, I don't think they want to. Now, I tell you, this can be a quick two hours.
I don't think it's in the best interest of them to even do so, but we made a campaign promise, so let's see what the campaign promise is going to reveal. But go ahead, I'm listening.
Every single organization, and maybe not the organization as a body, but every person within the organization that holds the wheel to steer that organization, Free FNM, the FNM and the PLP, every single person that holds the wheel, maybe the trifecta of leadership, has a Freedom of Information Act in their pocket. They only enact it when it's good for them. That's it. They use it to the objective of being able to nudge themselves back in line with whatever their objectives are, their personal objectives, not the party's objectives, their personal objectives. We have seen over the course of time, when it's convenient for leadership to come to the forefront and say, well, you did this and the information did this, and you remember Jerome Fitzgerald trying to sign up and say, I found this in my political garbage can. That is the Freedom of Information Act. That is only exclusive to individuals who need to be able to find themselves right-sized and back in line to be able to show a contrast. They will never give teeth to that from a wider perspective because it's not designed for everyone. It gives an opportunity for politics to take on persons like Keturah, like Miss Keturah.
Ferguson,
Miss Keturah Ferguson, and dismiss her. Transition her. Under the Constitution and the autonomy of what government could do, we could move you, we could retire you, we could enact the protocol to ensure that you're shifted because you're not safeguarded by any Freedom of Information Act, by any ombudsman. There is no recourse for you if you've gone against the political agenda that exists in this particular place. No political organization will ever, not in this country, simultaneously, you know what runs parallel with that? Not just the Freedom of Information Act. The two terms for prime minister. None of them can do it. Every one of them talk about it. The one person who had an opportunity to be able to step in leadership with conviction, with strength, with power, and find two terms to make this decision was Hubert Alexander Minnis. He screwed it up for everybody else. Because he did not do what conviction, the time, the dispensation, the era called for. He fumbled the ball, fumbled the bag, and disturbed an entire generation from being able to move on an upward incline towards real accountability. He did that. Because everyone had expected him to do that within the first 100 days. And he didn't do it. So where can you ever expect there to be freedom of information? The only thing that's going to happen after this, if Michael Pintard, who was a part of the cabinet of the Bahamas, if Dwayne Sands, who was a part of the former cabinet of the Bahamas, has anything to say about this, the only thing that Fred Mitchell, in his capacity as Minister of Foreign Affairs, and more specifically, Chairman of the Free, the PLP, only thing he's going to say is, well, when you were there, you didn't do it. That is going to be the proverbial can, the carnation can, that they kick down the road for another 2 decades. We're not going to see the change because no political organization has the will to be able to make the changes necessary to protect the Bahamian people from these, the tyranny that exists within the hearts of these corrupt men. And I won't be able to put no one in that bucket. I'm simply saying that it's accessible to all, and they use it and enact it when they desire. Talk to me.
Well, I'll tell you what truly troubles me. It is very apparent to me that political parties utilize media and media personalities to push their agendas forward in order to secure a victory in upcoming elections.
You want to know, sir? Let me hear it.
To see now that we were anticipating a shuffle. I was able to observe while off. I was in the hotel room looking at this, and the question was asked, you know, what's going to happen on Sunday, in other words. And, of course, the response came. I can't even quote it properly, but it was like, you know, wait till Sunday. You know, talk to me on Sunday.
Yes, somebody
talk
call
to
me
on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was very, very appalled by such a response. I'll tell you why. No disrespect to the office of the prime minister. No disrespect to the prime minister himself, but That answer sent cold chills through my spine. Immediately when he said that, I remember a statement by a previous prime minister that said, ABC, 1, 2, 3, or whatever he said. Just a tone of disrespect to the media personalities. I felt that more could have been given in terms of anticipation, you know, say something to just make the people feel at ease that, you know what, it's going to be okay. But just to brush the people off, I felt that was an error that may cost in the future. In terms of...
But that's the culture of politics in this country.
But it's no longer acceptable.
Okay.
It's no longer acceptable in 2023.
I won't touch that.
We are the age now of transparency and accountability, according to the people.
We in the new day.
And that's what they said. Right now, with this whole idea of sharing information, if it's going to affect the private citizenry lives, I can understand that information being withheld. But when a staff member, a civil servant, feels threatened with their nationality, feels that their country is under threat, it's natural for patriotism to take hold in that person's mind. And so Ms. Ferguson found herself in a situation where, do I sit back and do I eat my caviar, or do I go ahead and prepare myself to eat bonefish once a year at Christmas time?
I have to touch this with you. Michael, what time is it? Nah, okay, we got to go to a break quick. But let me touch this, and then we can go to it, and then let's do this. It is unnatural for patriotism ever to be able to be at the forefront for anyone who's working for the government. That is absolutely unnatural. That's unnatural. You're going against the nature and the conditioning and the expectation of those persons within the core of government. When you tap into patriotism, you better know how you can pay your bills.
Theoretically, you're correct. But there are many people because when a person applies for the civil service, how many people know exactly what civil servant arm they're going into? Is it going to be customs? Is it going to be immigration? Is it going to be defense force? Is it going to be police force? We are people, by nature, we seek a job. We just want to be employed in the government, because when I was growing up, people knew that working for the government meant security.
Not no more.
Well, you're saying that now because now everything is being opened up. Because you cannot be a good Church of God or prophecy or Church of God or Seventh-day Adventist or Baptist or Catholic or Anglican or whatever your religion is and bring your church nature to the job, not in government. Because in government, you're surrounded by people who are always looking for an additional opportunity. And so I'm going to leave it there for you to close out before the break. But
that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you see patriotism steps in,
but you go in as a patriot. You just don't understand. You don't understand the reef that you're about to swim in, because that's exactly where you go. You're going to be surrounded by sharks.
Patriotism has gone out of the window in this country with the introduction of independence. There's no patriotism here. There's only a necessity for survival. Relentlessly. That's who we are.
So you're going in to survive.
You're going in for a job.
But you want...
How you could go in for a job and simultaneously...
You want to love your flag. You get so excited when we win gold medals.
Nobody's looking at that flag. When you're talking about...
Ms. Ferguson's looking at the flag.
Ms. Ferguson, in her maturity and ability to be able to take care of her bills over the years, understands her responsibility to the next generation. And she needed to be able to say something at this juncture, at this age. 20 years ago, she would have never done this.
Well, you need to have a talk with Ms. Ferguson.
I can't speak for Ms. Ferguson.
Let Ms. Ferguson
speak
to herself. She may have done it.
The spirit and idea of patriotism only comes in when you can be able to take care of your natural ability. Let's talk now. Let's talk. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you can't feed yourself, you can't think, my brother. After you could feed yourself and take care of your family, then you understand your responsibility to tomorrow.
There is at least two jobs that I've had in this country. I actually worked at one time ago in my lifetime for other people. I mean, like a 9 to 5 clock in. Listen to me. When I get hired, and a lot of people ain't going to hire me, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you threaten my country, if you threaten my person, you threaten my family, if you try to make me look like an idiot, if I say good morning, sir, to you in the morning, and you don't respond back because you got an attitude every morning, take your job and shove it, old boy. That's the type of person I am. I will eat grits of the dirt before I come back to work tomorrow morning. We have people in this country who are just like that. You're not stupid. You just know that you have dignity
and
integrity.
Is that the exception or the rule? Is that the exception?
That's my rule. I don't give a hell who conception that is.
I'm asking you, from a general perspective, for the community that you travail every day, the men and women that you come across every day, is that the exception or is that the rule? Talk to me.
I got you, Howard. You got me. You got me. Because we need more Bahamian people to grow some backbone around here. And
because
get
people gravitate towards you. Boy Graham, I'm Garth, I'm sorry. Boy
you
Garth,
call me Graham, I white today. No, it's a new age. I can be white if I want to.
It's a G. I might have just called you Grant also. Watch me. Boy Garth, my God, boy. I like what you say on the radio today. John, how you always do that? How you could say things like that? I just want to say something like that too. You heard this before. Well, the conviction. The conviction don't exist externally. You can't have conviction and the necessity to survive at the same time. It's an oxymoron wrapped in skin. You can't do that. You got to have one at a time. And you got to choose your battles. Today, Ms. Ferguson chose violence. And this was the response. Let's have a good conversation about this, guys. The lines are wide open. 96.9 FM, 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720-422-4796 is the text. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. Farmers everywhere, fishermen here and there, the Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs now has 30 services available online. Apply for your agriculture farmland lease, farmers registration and license, and crawfish trapping permits online. All kinds of duty-free and import permits are now just a click away. Visit mygateway.gov.bs and grow your business today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
You've tried everything. ASUS, with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back-to-school prizes. Call 823-4374.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, right here, live in full effect on this Friday. It's kind of a laid-back Friday, but is it ever really a laid-back Friday? Talk to me. I mean, we do our best to kind of chill, right? Like casual Fridays, but it doesn't really happen. I feel like formality skips its way into the room and then knocks on the door and kind of peeks and says, hello, you can talk with me today. And this is where we are. I'm in studio with none other than Garth Roseborough, being able to chop these things down. Yeah. I think it's a great thing to do this. What you saying, Garth? Talk to me.
Man, we talking about this, right? I'm looking on page 3 of the Nassau Guardian today. Talk to me. Today's, and we got 4 people here applying for, for citizenship, naturalization, and citizenship. 4. One of them even living in Coral Breeze. They're living good. I mean, I'm not against people coming into the country and applying, but we got these people all over. They got more space in newspaper than me. I ain't got nothing in newspaper.
Excuse me.
I just in shock. I just trying to catch myself. And then I see, and they got some Cuban teachers here who can't speak English. I trying to figure what's going on. I mean, man, reading this paper sometimes have you baffled, you know, Howard. But I understand. It's a changing world. Maybe I just old-fashioned. Maybe I don't know the new standard. I don't know. I need direction. Maybe I need a new relationship with God. Because
this is a text.
I just don't see what's going on here.
It's a text somebody sent. They said, your guest is pontificating for effect. That's what they're saying about you.
I'm pontificating for effect.
Pontificating for effect. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Davis did not brush off or disrespect reporters on shuffle questions.
Oh, Jesus.
What advantage would have it been to gain by a summary 3 days before the Prime Minister's statement?
Listen to me. You know, it's getting really old in this country when we have people who are die-hard whatever. You can be a die-hard all you want. You have a right, and a democratic right, to be a diehard. What I do not appreciate is when you and your diehardness feels that everybody else has to be a diehard with you. I have a serious issue with that. As a matter of fact, you people have made me question your very Christianity. Because y'all are more diehard.
These people's Christian.
Listen to me. It is what it is, man. Because you see, I'm a very fair person. These same people had a problem when the former prime minister made his statement. Same people. You understand?
Oh, he said NPO.
He said ABC, 1, 2, 3. That's how he finished. He gone, whatever. Just disregard
and fish from the moon.
Yeah. You know, so.
Listen, these metaphors is going over my head. I couldn't understand none of them.
Yeah, but, you know, he's probably fishing from the moon. And these things, right? So now you want to come back to me like I'm an idiot. Listen to me, homeboy or homegirl, whoever the heck you are, eh? I'm getting sick and tired of y'all. Because y'all don't have any patriotism for this country. You're opportunists. You're no good. And people, you don't need to be in this country, man. We're getting sick and tired of you. I'm getting sick and tired of you. God may be getting sick and tired of you.
You're wilding out, sir. Let me see.
Jesus, man. If you want to be a good, brave Davis supporter, my God, be the best that you can be. I have no issue with you.
Let's touch this now.
But when you want to make me one, I am not a fan. I'm a fan of justice. I'm a fan of righteousness. I'm a fan of doing things the right way and according to a standard. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I'm not even trying to be perfect. But what I am trying to do is to be fair. If I am wrong, crucify me all you want. But hey, if I am on a path of righteousness, leave me the hell alone, because Peter is not the only person who has a sword in his hand. I got one too.
Is there a prefix to the righteousness? Is it self-righteousness? Let's talk to me. I want to talk. No, hold on. Yeah. Let's do this. Before we left on the break, I told you that you cannot, in this country, hold patriotism and this sort of position of survival simultaneously. You can't. Your two hands, one hand can hold patriotism and the next hand hold on survivalism. This is not Gettysburg. This is not the Civil War in America. This is the Bahamas in the 21st century. You have to make a decision. If you're going to be patriotic, you have to find a way to feed yourself. You know that. I know that.
Howard.
There are men and women out here in this country who knows that. I can tell you a story.
Oh, you know something? You're talking about patriotism and surviving. I could take that same thing and talk about Christianity and survival, you know. These people ain't no Christian, they ain't no God-fearing people, because the minute opportunity comes, I can tell you a quick little story before you tell yours. I met a pastor the other day and told him a story about a young man who found some, I'm going to say it on the air, some of the white lady on the beach.
Well, this was years ago, hey?
No, you know, years ago. This other day, right in my backyard. What? Not my backyard, though. Not my backyard. I mean on the beach.
What kind of
where I live. I don't even know the beach where I live.
You
not,
must see me
not
in
my backyard. I don't even want to think putting that in my backyard.
You must see me in the 1990-something.
No. This just the other day, right? And the young man say, my God, my friends, tell everybody I find this thing. And now the police come and they take it. So the preacher say, did they lock you up? He say, no. He said, well, then I mean, they must see in report that. That must be gone somewhere else. I just listened to the conversation. Do you know what the preacher's response was? You should have bring it to me. I could tell you how much we could have sold that for. Now, I ain't making this up. I am not making this up, man. He started to tell me how much this key thing cost. He started at $40,000 and worked his way down to $20,000. Said, little boy, I could give one $5,000, $10,000 for that. So that means I'll turn again to him and he church and he ministry. This is Bahamian people talking. See, that type of standard, I don't deal with.
This is the pimps in the pulpit thing.
This is what it is. Now, if I fishing in my boat and I find a white lady, I really don't want none of that. As God is my witness, y'all can have that. Now, if I find a briefcase of money, I know I can't report that. I tell you why I cannot report it. Because I remember back in the 80s when the lady found bags of money in Coral Harbor in the garbage bin. And she reported it. She gave it up. Dead in 2-3 days. I ain't doing that. I ain't telling nobody. I can keep that for myself, eh?
Let's just be very clear about this, because I don't want drift from this.
I want drift. I just trying to tell you about standards and patriotism and opportunity.
You cannot have... When you are in survival mode, sir, when you are in survival mode, this country has been in survival mode for decades. For decades.
But you don't have to compromise your standard.
How can you have standards in survival mode?
Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
That means that you're in faith mode.
Yeah, well, a lot of
you
people
see,
live
I
in
just
faith.
You, okay.
I figure we got at least 30 or 40% people who operate by faith in this
okay,
country.
Okay, so that's 60 to 70% people are on survival mode.
Yeah, that is correct.
If this is a democracy, then the majority rule. Our country is in survival mode.
I agree.
Okay, now let's talk like this. Now, if you want to say that the people are in this sort of survival mode, how can you bring patriotism in the conversation? You can't. Or faith. Or anything else. There's no conviction when you have to make a decision to live tomorrow. There's none. And for the most part, people are looking to get to tomorrow and compromising their faith, their belief, crying while they ask you for $40 to do the unthinkable. Talk to me. This is survival. Well, I said, go buy a butane can. Watch me. Because this survival, that might be rudimentary, basic, grassroots survival that I'm talking about. But there is survival on other ends. There are people in this country who owe the bank $350,000 and making $210 a week.
You serious?
After the modification of what's happened with the pandemic, going in, begging a bank for an opportunity, some of them lose their house already and still living in it because the bank ain't find a buyer yet. Already. This is what's happening in this country. You cannot, see, you can only live by faith if you got the faith. You can't live by faith and live by compromise. It's confusing. It's confusing to everything, to the spirits. It's confusing to man. We don't understand what's going on. You got to make a decision, Bella. What side of the fence you going to be on? Listen, this ain't no buying nothing. You got to be on one side or the other. And that is where we are. The thing that I'm saying to you at the very onset is what's happening here with the shakeup in immigration. This is as a result of many patriot looks at this and continue to be able to tip their hat at Ms. Keturah.
Yes.
They tip their hat at her.
So you're saying now that she's no longer in survival mode. She has reached a point of maturity to where she can take
I don't
care
want to use
herself,
her
so
as
now
an
she can
individual.
Afford to be a patriot. You have to actually afford to be a patriot.
You have to be able to afford to be a patriot. You have to be self-reliant and self-sustained. You cannot, in this setting, in this environment, after 1973, with the introduction of independence and a shifting with neocolonialism and the mindset of black leaders to find out if the white man did it like this, I am going to amplify that by 10. Every decade, it was amplified by another 10. We are now in the fifth dispensation of this. That's then is amplified by 500. These men are monsters, most of them. Watch me. Let's just be very clear about this. And you have to get in where you fit in. That is why it is so easy for politicians to say it is what it is. And the society accept it because the truth of the matter is it is what it is. Are you in survival mode or are you in faith? That's it. And I can tell you story after story as to why I can lean on faith. People say, well, why are you trying to push Jesus Christ on these people? Why are you trying to? I know what God do for me. I ain't trying to push nothing on you. And you could, I'm telling you, I'm not in survival mode. If I could get the people a letter at ZNS, well, ZNS money is real. Talk to me. I can't even get no amen.
I can't get amen because I know the money.
ZNS money just come on time.
Yeah.
I didn't have to ask no questions for that. That was there. Bam, psh, boom.
You know,
no questions.
Like to give me no money. I don't know why.
Let's be very clear about this.
Uh-huh.
I walk in faith. That's how I live. That is how Howard Grant lives.
That's what works for you and your
family.
That's
worked for me, and it has worked for me forever and a day. I walk by faith. Sometimes you have to give your testimony and make people to understand that I walk by faith.
So moving the spotlight off.
I can afford to be a patriot. I could afford that. I could afford to stand strong and say this, because my sustenance, my survival and my family survival don't come by these people externally. It comes by what God releases to me.
I have seen in the past union leaders who have retired or who have been ousted look at a political future. People who are in the civil service who have done extremely well and they reach this point of maturity. Not just focusing on Ms. Ferguson herself, but on other people as well. Is there a future in politics for people like this who now want to stand and fight for the Bahamian people? That would be my question.
People like who?
Like Ms. Ferguson. Just using as an example, you've served, you've done well, you've reached a point of maturity to where you
she's
no
not
longer
the first woman who did this,
want
you know.
To appreciate what's happening around you, so you want to stand up, you're prepared to now move on. What does the future look like? Is the future in church ministry? Is the future in politics? Where do these people now gain new strength or new vision or a new life? Is there a life after the civil service?
I want to be very clear with you when I touch this. And
because
I
now they want to be a patriot, you see? So I just
want to know. I want to be clear with you when I touch this and I do like this. Because I don't want you to believe that... I don't want you to believe that if you take it. Because I'm just trying to be able to look for something for you. Miss Osborne. Who sat at the pinnacle of BPL? Mm-hmm. And everyone showered accolades on her, and the Free National Movement was proud to push their chests out on her in a particular position. As soon as she went contrary, as soon as she stepped into a position where transparency was a requirement, as soon as she did what she knew to do based upon the training and the exposure in those particular areas that pushed past whatever the agenda was, as soon as she tried to do her actual job, the Free National Movement run the whole bus over her. Talk to me. I can't even get no amen. Ms. Keturah is not going to be the first person. And she's not going to, especially as women. This is harder for women, you know. This is harder for women.
It's harder for women.
It's absolutely harder for women. And listen to me. We could get deep and deep and deep and heavy with this. This is extremely hard for women. In our society, who continues to be able to try to show an illusion that this is because it's almost 1 o'clock. This is an illusion. They try to tell you, oh, well, this is not the patriarch. The misogyny doesn't exist here. And they want you to avert your eyes. But we know what the conditioning of our society is. If a woman steps up and being able to stand strong and speak these particular things, they're coming for her. And not just in an individual or an organization, the entire construct of our society. Even women would look down and it would, she should have noticed, shut up. That's the same thing they did with the vote for themselves, the gender equality, the gender referendum.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing they did. Well, Jesus, my God, they vote against themselves because the actual misogyny that is that's actually ingrained into our psyche in this country says that this is the way it is. They go against it. The other day, based upon social conditioning, guys, and I got to take this commercial break. I know that it's time right now. We got to go to news. We got to go to a break. Yeah, but I can say this quickly to you. The other day, when we were having a conversation here with Kevin L.A. Ewing, and he was just talking to you about what the Word of God says, people push the Word of God aside for the conditioning that they accepted from the church. And that's what happened in this country. All wilding out.
Could I say amen?
Give me an amen. You got to give me two amen. Because two is the number of confirmation. Guys, 96.9 FM radio. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Friday afternoon, laid back and in full effect, being able to chop this down with my good friend, Garth Roseborough. Just being able to talk about some things. When we left, we started to talk about transparency, conviction. We started to talk about patriotism and this concept and idea of survival mode. I want to be able to kind of surmise it and sum it up and push it in this mound now. And just say to you that for me, I believe that there is an awakening in the country. I believe that there's an awakening in the country. I believe that we are awaking. Because, you know, you ever been between in that kind of a limbo space between sleep and waking, you don't know what's real or what's not. I believe that there is a shaking up to come to reality in the country. And I believe that when we see persons like Keturah Ferguson take on this kind of a position of strength to do what needs to be done, and even though you feel taboo about it, you feel indifferent about it, the Bahamian people recognize that we cannot have a country and survive and find ourselves in a position where our children could be able to grow and expand significantly simply by this. Now, I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you. When we started to talk about the shuffle at the top of the show, Garth, we talked about winners, we talked about losers, and because I want to be able to give it simplicity. Over the eight persons, I can say unequivocally, based upon what we've seen, there are some people this reshuffle happened for. This was the objective. So they're not winners or losers. They retained their position, and this was the objective of the Progressive Liberal Party being able to shuffle at the onset. The first person who was the objective of this shuffle, let's be very clear, and we can talk about this, the line's open, guys, if you want to be able to have this conversation with us, Keith Bell. This shuffle happened to ensure that Keith Bell could retain this position. People call me, well, why not get rid of Keith Bell? And Keith Bell is going to be the proverbial nail in the PLP's coffin. No, I don't believe that. The PLP and any organization who has a commitment to individuals to help them to ascend to power will not just dash them away. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in democracy. It's not going to happen locally. It's not going to happen regionally. It's not going to happen internationally. Even the idea of what existed with Bush would reshuffle and put people in strategic positions. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Kennedy, whether it's Bush, whether it's Trump, they reshuffle and put their persons in strategic positions who support them and supported them for a very long time. There's no difference here. The difference here is volume. And because we're in such a small society, we feel like something should be done right now. But that's not really going to happen. The objective for the shuffle was Keith Bell. And then Joe Beth Colby Davis. That's two persons. Objective. They found themselves in strategic positions where strength, they understood their position, understood what they could do, and they said, we're going to strategically put you in this position. You're capable, you're qualified, you can hit the ground running, we can help you with these things. Boom. Joe Beth, Keith, objective. Winners. The winners in this, Pia Glover-Roll.
I like her. I like her. I think she's decent.
Clay Sweeting.
Clay's a very...
That was a humongous move. Yeah,
that's a big lift. That big left. But
works.
Clay is very approachable, and I think Clay is a team player, and he knows how to get people involved. So that's a big win, I think, for the country as well. We're looking for much improvement in terms of the Ministry of Works from the person of Clay Sweeting.
Jomo Campbell. Humongous move.
It's a big lift for him as well. And I just went pause
these
there.
Are the very clear winners here.
Yeah, but see, once again, Howard, right? People listening in, and I appreciate all the listeners, whether you're PLP, FNM, or otherwise, I appreciate every one of you. Sometimes I get a bit emotional because, you know, I get tired of the same rhetoric over and over again. But on this show, I do my very best to be fair. If a person is doing a commendable job, whether they PLP or FNM, I will say so. So do not try to label me as a PLP or FNM. It ain't going to happen. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You're right, you're right. That's my opinion. It's not the opinion of the station. It's not the opinion of Howard Grant. It ain't the opinion even of God sometimes. Some of them may be working for the devil. Who knows? But at the same time, it's still mine. And I will own it, whether it's a benefit or consequence. So in you saying that these people are winners, I think there are very few people in this country, Mr. Howard Grant, who can say that you're wrong about this?
Okay, talk to me.
You know, I've gotten...
There's reports. Another side of the spectrum also. There is the opposing position.
Yeah, we'll bring it.
So we talk about winners, but we have people, to talk about losers also here.
Yeah, and there are people... And
I only could see one at the time.
One loser?
Only for me.
One loser?
Yeah.
I bet you I could guess who that is.
I think the entire country could guess who it is.
You want me to guess or you can tell them?
Go ahead. I only could see one. This is Howard Grant now. I only could see one.
I can let you tell them. I can respond. I can let you tell them.
Based upon, and I've said this on the show on Tuesday, we had a good conversation about this. Based upon...
You're smarter than me, so I may be wrong.
Stop it.
Yeah, you're smarter than me, so tell them, man. Don't let them wait. Tell them.
We have to give it meat. Upon years of commitment, based upon articulation, based upon poise, based upon... the capability of being able to ascend to the highest office in this country based upon what our expectations are, based upon how this particular person has
always... You're talking about Alfred Sayers, man.
Alfred Sayers.
You're talking about Alfred Sayers. Alfred Sayers. Okay, I said it. Now, guess what? Based on his seniority and maturity...
All this now. Let's go.
Immigration, I do believe, is going to be the Achilles heel of this next general election. Believe that or not. I don't care how good you do. Either immigration is going to work in your favor or it's going to work against you. Either you're going to be able to naturalize and give citizenship to enough of those people who have come into our country to vote for you, or we're going to have an overwhelming...
Hold on. Or these people come in the country to vote for them?
They got the passport.
Oh, you're doing a lot.
You got a passport. Who can stop them? As a matter of fact, let me mix it up a little bit more for you since you're like Kong Salad so much, right? Any sovereign wealth fund... Any carbon credit money to the citizens of the country includes them. You got to share your money now.
You're wilding out, sir.
You got my citizens.
You're wilding out.
I see four of them right there on page 3. You want to hear what I say? And if they succeed,
this
any money is coming in.
This is natural process
and
ascension of what happens in our country, in a country that is governed by law, order, and the Constitution.
This is the supreme law
in this country.
There's a Constitution.
This is the avenue. If you talk to any Minister of Immigration, if you talk to A. Loftus Roker, if you talk to Branville McCartney, if you talk to anyone who had any semblance of the understanding with it, when it comes to immigration, after the age of 18, you have the right to apply.
Yes.
But the application has a due process associated with it. One of it being, you have to put your face in the paper.
Yeah.
But the face in the paper is for personal scrutiny.
Sorry for calling him a boy, but homeboy. Oh boy, listen to me. The paper can't tell me this place can even speak English. Some of these people don't know a lick of English. They just reached here yesterday, man. Some of these people got their passport maybe in Haiti. We don't know. This is the question mark in immigration right now. This is why we have Ms. Ferguson on the firing line, because they want to tell us something. And I think if she tells us too much, she may even be in further jeopardy in terms of pension or whatever. I don't know how they do it. But my brother, we got a debacle on our hands. We got a serious a national situation on our hands. This thing ain't easy. This can either make or break the PLP. I ain't asking nobody this. I ain't telling you this.
I disagree with you.
Who?
I disagree with you.
Who?
I disagree with you. I disagree with you.
Oh.
The general election of this country has never been cruxed on one position. The one determining factor, unfortunately, for people in relentless survival mode is how good this government take care of me in terms of moving into this thing. And let's be very clear about this.
Man,
Let's break down these numbers.
Howard.
And I see your telephone calls, guys. Please be a part.
The people feel right now like they're supposed to get some more. That's why they're asking for carbon credits. That's why they're asking for sovereign wealth. But there's something more that they want that they feel they're not getting. And if someone else comes in here and takes their portion, I am telling you, it's not going to go over very well.
Let's break these numbers down. This conversation is an intellectual conversation that is identified to the bosom of a niche demographic in this country. 400,000 people. Let's just be very clear.
You trying to keep it intellectual? This is emotional.
It is. It's not emotional. It's not.
Jesus Lord.
It's not. Grassroots people do not care. Excuse me, let's be very clear about this. Grassroots people who need to get a job to be able to buy the butane can and the noodles and whatever they have to do to survive today is not worrying about how much Haitian out here. They're not concerned about that. They have to survive. Survival people don't have the luxury of being able to observe around them. When you swimming and you looking at land, you think you care about who on the side of you. This is not a race. This is survival. No one care about immigration. From that level. No one is concerned about immigration matters from that level. The only time they're concerned about it is whether or not you infringe on my money. And if you're infringing on my money, then you're infringing on my survival. You got to go.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think we are that racist that we are against Haitian as a people. I think we just simply are upset about opportunities going to this particular group of individuals. Everywhere you go, the food store, all the restaurants, the construction sites, everywhere these people have the jobs. Why? Because there are those who have this money who are paying these people pennies on the dollar.
Let me tell you why. Let's be very clear about this.
Oh, Jesus, help us.
No, let's talk. We're talking decent today. At the beginning of the conversation,
when you
have me call
the Lord, you know my heart heavy.
Okay, let's.
My heart is heavy. So people, I'm not calling his name in vain. I'm just a bit overwhelmed right now.
But God's yoke is light. Huh? My God. So we're going to have to get the proper yoke today. Let's be very clear about this conversation. I can go to a telephone call. Let's do this. Hold on. Hold on. Let's do this.
Let's be decent.
At the beginning of the conversation, I said to you, you cannot cling to patriotism and survival. It's an oxymoron. At the beginning of the conversation, you cannot. You're confused as an individual. If you want to be patriotic and you're in a survival mode, you got to make a decision. That's one. The second thing, when you find yourself in this position, you cannot find yourself clinging to survival and worrying about these other things. You're relentlessly in survival. The party politics in this country knows that. And that is why they come and bring you something to drink. Of course, they did it from 1973 on purpose. All this is on purpose.
And you're telling me my people...
Every single one, the FNM and the PLP have done this on purpose for years. They have done nothing to alleviate the burden on the Bahamian people. Perpetually calling our Bahamian people grassroots people. Perpetually. They continue to have a casual conversation about showing money at education. Well, we're the only ones who doubled the budget for education. And still, the trust in the school falling down. And still, they're worsening BGCSE grades. And still, there are rapes out of the water. And still, there's crime that continues to be able to escalate. And still, there's a desire to be able to find yourself out of this country. They have relentlessly and perpetually done this. Only 400,000 people. You mean to tell me 40 fellas can't do better than this? You mean to tell me these fellas who go out internationally to be able to represent themselves and take care of their family, who could get $250,000, $250,000, $2 million for their skill set, go in parliament and can't do nothing? This is intentional. And unless and until they do something about it, we will always be at this position. And we vote for them. You know why? Because we don't have time to concern ourselves about matters as immigration. We're worrying about, child, you see, my God, you see this one. We talked about the 70% earlier. You say 60 to 70% people are in survival mode.
Yes, sir.
They are concerned whether or not they get $200 wrapped up in the shirt. Talk to me. How are you talking? Am I making sense?
Hey, Howard, you ain't red no more. You turning black, boy. I'm watching you.
Am I making sense?
I'm watching you explode.
I've been a part of this politics thing. You know I see it. You know I walk the tracks. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to leave the names out. Those person who heard the story, if you know the story, you know I ain't lying to you. There was a particular person who ran for a particular organization that I was a part of, that walked in an impoverished area, that was a lighter hue man. I got to be very decent when I said this. And when he walked there, he said, hi, my name is so-and-so. I want you to be able to vote for this particular organization and support me as I move here. This particular person, woman, come to the door in a towel.
Hallelujah.
Excuse me. Ooh. An impoverished area, she come to the door in a towel. Drops the towel.
Orgy.
And says, man, I only want you to put one of them white baby in me. This is relentlessly survival in this country. You need to stop playing. Because if you ain't never been on the tracks, all you're doing is talking. You ain't been out here in this. That's why I can talk the way I talk. That's why I want you to talk and make you to understand that if we don't get rid of these people who care nothing about the Bahamian people, you will always be here. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up.
What do you say?
Garth, I'm not telling you nothing I don't know. I don't come on this radio and give you fantasies. I could give you story after story only by the experiences that I've had. Because I've been looking for an opportunity to be able to get out of this hole of poverty. We just surviving in this country. All we doing is trying to get to next week Friday.
But you use in terms like we got to get rid of these people. But when we got one or two good people in there now, you know what I'm saying to you? So how do we get the good people to the forefront and get the bad people
out? My granddaddy used to wear a top hat. I tried to wear it to the prom. The thing couldn't fit. I let it rest on the top of my head. I looked like the Planters peanut man. It couldn't fit. Who the hat fits, let him wear it. I used to wear size 12. In shoes. Everybody say you don't wear size 12. Who the shoe fit? Let him wear it. When we used to go to Abe Marak High School and fight breakout, people run towards the fight. Bad boys throw rock in the crowd.
Listen.
And only people who get hit with the rock is say, ow, I can't even get no amen. Y'all need to stop.
I
can't put everybody in the same
I got to let that caller call through, but I agree with you.
Take a telephone call.
Yeah, take the telephone call, but
caller,
I know.
Caller, go ahead.
Lord God.
Is a caller on the line?
Name. I'm impressed with this guy, Garth.
Go ahead.
He's the realist, right? Now, I had a little conversation with Seattle this morning, so I heard you guys talking about the Freedom of the Information Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, I would go down the immigration rabbit hole as I like how Garth is painting the realistic picture of what the migration crisis is doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as it relates to the Freedom of the Information, I was trying to get Seattle in the call because he could explain it much better than me, but this question came up as a result of me saying that we need an oversight committee, a watchdog committee, whatever, judiciary, whatever, right? To oversee immigration and the issuing of these government certificates or papers, right? As it relates to work permit, citizenship, et cetera, right? So in order to get real data, we're talking about data integrity here. So if there's a system that the government has in place that they can do this, then the question remains, why haven't they set up this paradigm with Google or some other big company in which there's an app or there's a paradigm or model in which you cannot delete. You see? So see, Alan could explain it better. And then help me out, Howard, and Garth, okay? Because I was told by somebody that Ryan Pinder said boldly before they prorogued the House, right, that they wanted to pass, the first thing they would do is pass an anti-whistleblower act. Did those words come out of his mouth?
I didn't have the information. I appreciate your telephone call, 52. Oh, sorry about that. I cut him. I thought you was done. Sorry about that, God. No, I don't have that information before me.
Yeah,
somebody texted to me, 8270111.
I don't recall, but I know there's something profound that was said. He said that most of the bills passed benefited most of the people of the Bahamas. So the question now if most of the bills benefited the people of the Bahamas, who did the other bills benefit?
Anybody in here,
you know,
benefit.
Huh? If only most of them benefited us, what did the rest benefit? Who did that benefit? You see, we need to ask these questions, and you're quite correct. We need to have some type of committee that can ask these questions, because asking these individuals.
But that will require accountability.
That's what the call is talking
that
about.
That will require. Listen to me. Let's just.
No, I'm with you, Howard, but I'm saying to you, this is what the sensible people of this country is crying for. You're saying the people who are impoverished, they don't have time for that. That's what you're
we
trying to tell me.
We do not live in Walgreens. This is not Pleasantville. This is the Bahamas. The only idea of paradise is an external idea. Internally, we know what we have to do to survive every day. This is not paradise, not for us who live here. That is how island people live. We are perpetually looking for an opportunity to be able to get out of this tribulation that we live in. Whether it's Hawaii, whether it's the Philippines, whether it's here in the Bahamas, whether it's other islands throughout the Caribbean, we have to be very clear about this. This is not this sort of an idea that we're putting out there. There are members of parliament who are making $28,000 a year base salary as a member of parliament, who have been identified and given opportunities to ascend either to cabinet or some board that gives them additional salaries.
Yes.
Just no one has to tell you anything. If you are serving at the pleasure of this administration, the prime minister, and they give you and they repose the kind of confidence in you to give you another job on top of the base job that you have, then you know it in your mind, based upon the conditioning in our society, that you're the whip is always on for you. You know that. You know that. You will do nothing to trouble the monies that are coming in because you ain't no thief. Let's just be clear. I don't want to hear with the assumption that people is thief.
So,
you ain't no thief.
So every 5 years we have a change because of this unfavorable service that they render to us.
Every 5 years you have a change in government because the Bahamian people, like I said, are waking up. But they're still afraid of the reality that exists when they put their feet on the floor. When they wake up and they sit on the edge of the bed and continue to be able to contemplate the issues that they have to go through, they ain't touched the floor yet. That's where we are.
Yeah, but Howard, we've never gotten off of our street. This is a nightmare street. This nightmare on our street. Not Elm, I know Elm here. We got Almond Tree and we got Ganef Tree, but it's a nightmare. And we continue to go around in the circle. So I'm listening to you because it's profound what you're saying, that because of impoverished society, the people are so busy trying to survive.
That's what it is.
That the patriotism goes out of the window. So you're telling me that either we're too slow as a people, we're too desperate as a people, but you're promising me that no time soon we're going to get out of this nightmare.
It only comes with a very clear understanding and conviction and leadership. Leadership has to understand that this goes beyond my survival.
We don't have the leadership necessary to get off of the street, Howard.
Let's be very clear about this.
Show me that leader.
Every single leader that comes in, and the only person, and I'm going to be very clear about this, I don't believe that this leader, Philip Brave Davis, as a prime minister, has the same opportunities that were afforded Hubert Minnis. I believe Hubert Minnis could have been the changing, he should have been the changing point.
Tell us why, quickly.
Let me tell you why. When he came in and introduced this concept that the Ingram era is over, Ingram era was not just only Ingram. That era existed a mindset, a traditional mindset in the country. If that era is over, then you need to introduce a new era. And that new era should be an era of transparency and opportunity. It should be an era of the people's time. And that did not happen. It was a perpetuation and even worsening of what happened in yesteryear.
Why?
I don't know, maybe because of the lack of conviction of the leader, because of the lack of the willpower of the leader, because of this kind of an idea that it's all for me, without an understanding that you have a responsibility with the time that you have to make the changes necessary to see the country move in the right direction. Only him could have done that. The Free National Movement had an opportunity to be able to do that under me. FNMs will call me right now and tell me, yeah, Howard, Minnis dropped the ball.
You know what I think the difference is? I think the former prime minister had people who were pulling his strings. I'm asking you, man. We were doing COVID-19. Many people could bring their dog in and get buried. My God. Come on, boss.
No.
The people had to be controlling that prime minister.
No.
Ain't no sane man was going to operate the way he operated during that time. No sane man. With Philip Brave Davis, we got a different type of prime minister. We got a prime minister who has tentacles everywhere.
But still not the conviction to make the decisions people. To change for the people.
The people like Joe Beth Colby, who are intelligent. Keith Bell is an intelligent person. Mind you, you may not
like
what he
did. I say the people. I didn't say the person.
Yeah, but he's surrounded by intelligence.
Listen, we could go back and forward all day whether or not these people are intelligent. I told you on Tuesday, Joe Beth Colby is Howard Grant. People won't throw Joe Beth out with the baby with the bathwater. They won't throw Joe Beth out. They won't get rid of her. But I believe that she has the temperament. She needs the experience. She needs the mentorship, I believe, to be able to make the type of decisions for where the country needs to go tomorrow. I don't believe that no one should try to get rid of her. I believe that they should do just what they're doing. Say, hey, listen, baby, you know how to do this, 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 and this. These are some of the things. People like Glenys Hannah-Martin should pull her close. People like who have the great transparency
Mother Pratt
within,
and Mother Pratt,
they have that kind of temperament and understanding of what happens in this here. If she can be able to be here for a long time, she can talk to women like this.
Janet Bothwick.
She needs to talk. It's had to be a bipartisan approach because what she's doing should be a nationalistic thing. I don't think no one should get rid of Joe Beth Colby. That's what the murmurs are.
Okay, and that's your opinion.
That's my opinion. I don't think you should get rid of Joe Beth. I think that she has a way to go, but she has shown us that she has the capability of being able to make these things happen. Now, the issue that I have in the country is that leadership has to have the conviction to make something, to make a decision that's bigger than them.
The leader got to be here first.
No, I ain't worried about the leader have to be here.
What you mean you ain't worried about that? No, how are you going to make a decision if you ain't
here? Listen, the reason why I could say that Pia Glover-Rowell was a winner in this is because when Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell was traveling all over the world, she had to step to the plate. And based upon what we saw on her capability, despite the fact that he wasn't a micromanager, she stepped up. And promotion was afforded her an opportunity to be able to do that. I think that's a wonderful thing.
I just said that to you.
No, but there are men and women who are in strategic positions to run the country. If the prime minister going over where he is,
these
doing
people
what he
were
to do,
thrust.
The still got
listen
to,
run. To me. Clay Sweeting was thrust into a position based on a lack of true leadership, man. I don't have nothing personally against the prime minister, right? I'm just simply saying, I said this on your show, that he has to be here to take care of home rather than flying all over the place taking care of everything else. No. I'm not against him traveling. But I'm saying that we had some issues in this country that needed daddy's attention, and daddy wasn't here.
Watch
I said
me.
That.
Watch me.
People like Joe Beth Colby, she's a newborn in this situation of politics. Many of them, Zane Lightburn, newborn. Keith Bell finally got into the House. He was a senator before. He was in national security before. But they're new into the cabinet, okay? They need leadership. They need pampering. They need people who can hold their hands and walk them through. That was not there.
They need mentorship.
And how long was Philip Brave Davis in Parliament? Let me hear this. How many years was he in Parliament?
No, hold on now.
Cabinet.
Let's just be very clear about this. I don't believe that the Prime Minister and his capacity, who have identified person to serve at his liege, need to be there to hold everybody hand.
I didn't say perpetually.
There are people. No, but he didn't need to be there at all. The party, the first thing they'll tell you about the PLP party is that it's a deep bench. It's a deep tent. That's the first thing they tell you.
Okay. Can I have you pause 1 second? Let me ask you a question. During the electoral cycle, who do we vote for? We vote for these people who put on a shirt, or do we vote for the leader? Let me hear this.
We vote for those people in our constituency.
Hell no. Hell no. You put on the shirt on the right color, on the right party, at the right time, and you in the House of Parliament. How many dimwits have we seen in the House of Parliament because they had on the right color
Let
shirt.
Let me take this telephone call. You call me on the line with us live.
Dimwits.
Go ahead.
Hey, Howard Grant.
Hey, what's up there, my brother?
How are you doing, man? You have one Fian Thompson brother again today. Good
Fian
man.
Thompson brother?
Listen to me. Watch this move. Listen to this name.
Mm-hmm.
Loretta
Butler-Turner. Yes, sir.
Listen to that name.
Good woman.
They're going to have a by-election coming up in Long Island real soon. Listen for that name. Like you said that on that. You said something about the PLP having a deep bench. Man for man. After Pintard, I would even call the deputy. After Pintard and Dwayne Sands, where do the F&M go from there? And Minnis, where do they go from there?
F&M have a deep bench also.
No, I like Ellsworth.
Where do they go from there? You say Ellsworth Johnson, you name another name.
But I just like him.
Okay, but when I say the PLP have a deep bench, we start from Philip Brave Davis, Prime Minister, Chester Cooper, Glenys Hannah-Martin, Obie Whitcomb, Alfred Sayers, We could go on and on. We could go on and on. Showbat Colby. What's the new lady that just got her own ministry now?
Pia Glover.
Pia Glover. And Pia Glover those came up through to PLP. I knew Pia Glover from the Young Rebels. She ain't just come on the BLB.
She's decent.
She grew up in the BLB. People like the Speaker of the House Assembly, part of the vote. You know, she has to be neutral being the Speaker. But there are people that grew up in the Young Liberals. They grew up in the BLB. Now, I'm bothered by some people I see come around the BLB in this last election. Like it's 2012. I got to put my hand to the Bible. It was effing it. But that's beyond, at least the it shows that the tent is wide and people can come in. You know, because some people who I talked to during the 2012 election, some of them just telling me I'd be wasting my time at the BLB, but now they the whole assembly representing the BLB.
Huh? Listen, I hear what you're saying. I want to say this to you, and I appreciate this opportunity. One of my good PLB friends walked in the studio just now. He won't talk now. He won't talk now. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Listen, I want to say this to you. I want to be very clear with you when I say this to you. In 1964, the PLP, well, in the 60s, the PLP had done something that I thought, and I continue to look at this, as the shining light of politics in our country in the 60s. In the 60s, the PLP did significant recruiting, like baseball fellas that go off to look all over the place to see. They scouted talent in this country. I thought it was amazing. Where I could hear men today that haven't passed away, that could sit here with strength to say that I was identified by the PLP and afforded an opportunity. The PLP's bench was so deep at the time. I'll use one example. My bishop, Bishop Neil Ellis. Bishop Neil Ellis, I love the man. Praise God. I ain't getting against him.
I'm just asking.
You're very clear. You know that. So let's do this. Bishop Neil Ellis was in Porgy Bay, Andrews. I mean, I'm Bimini. And in Porgy Bay, he always tells the story. In Porgy Bay, Bimini, he would give this introduction of the then Prime Minister, Lyndon Pinlan. Lyndon Pinlan was impressed by Bishop. You should see the Bishop pictures. Bishop got on big glasses on. He looked nerdy. He got on a little white shirt on, his pants high like Urkel on. And the Prime Minister at the time looked at this young boy and said, I think we should give him an opportunity. Made a call to Nassau to Frankie Wilson. Let's be very clear about this. This is the depth of the belt, of the tent of the PLP. Made a call to Frankie Wilson. Frankie Wilson then, in turn, adopted, in some sense, Bishop Neil Ellis and afforded him an opportunity. Bishop Neil Ellis never really ascended to leadership in terms of political leadership in this country, but he's ascended to leadership in one stance. The fact of the matter is that if the Free National Movement doesn't take this particular avenue to identify and recruit and scout talent in this country, they will fail in the next general election.
I will agree with
so
that.
So this call, with the caller saying, who in the FNM, it doesn't matter who exists in the FNM right now.
I will agree.
If Michael Pintard has the wherewithal to identify people,
I agree,
to be able to come into the FNM and convince them that this is the party that is going to reform the country and lead with conviction and do what it needs to be done as it relates to the constitution of the country, then the FNM will be right where it is, fighting internally.
If you have ever said anything right, you 100% on
it. I just want to be decent.
No, that was.
Let my good friend say good afternoon to people. Gerard Darvall in the studio with me. He didn't come creeping here just now. I see him for a long time. Yeah. Say good afternoon to the people. Cut on his mic.
Mr. Pinewood, eh?
This Mr. Pinewood.
I should know. I know him.
Producer, cut on his mic for me, please. Right? It's Mike, the mic. Go ahead, say good afternoon to the people.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thank you.
You ready to talk politics?
I could talk politics for a bit.
How you doing? I ain't seen you in a while.
Yeah, good, right?
You look good, though. You look strong.
Yeah, man.
God is good.
To God be the glory. You know, the reason why, I thank you for allowing me here.
You're my brother, I love you.
One of the topics that I'm seeing going around that I'm very displeased with right now is how we as an adult, we look and we had a review on how our parents, how our grandfathers were, grandmothers were to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're repeating the cycle. We have these pictures of these young men who go in a CV battle. And as adults, I feel that online, There has been unnecessary bullying towards these young men, in the sense that these young men, they had on chains and they weren't holding up any gang signs. They were in front of the school, first day of school, excited about being the school. All the work what they had done over the summer made their money legally, and they purchased jewelry to wear, right? And they took a picture as a group to remember the first day.
You mean the fellas in the gold teeth in the particular?
Yeah, okay, right. The first day of their last year in school. Right? When we were kids, we did the same thing. We didn't have social media to put it all out there, but we all memorialized our last year in school. Right? And these kids, they did nothing wrong. They broke no rules. They were not violent. We like to show violence. But what I am saying is these kids are education ambassadors. Because if you look at that picture as a young man, it makes it exciting to want to go to school. Man, these fellas, them fresh, everything fresh. School looks good.
They didn't pack all the bag in the world for that.
Right, yeah, but they working, they striving in comparison to where we want our young men to be now. Mm-hmm. We saying that we want striving young men. Right? But here's an example of young Bahamian men striving. Now let's put it into context. Why are we so unfair to young men in the Bahamas? When the young lady went to school with a freedom of expression and the hot iron was put to her hair. Bahamians was outraged at the fact that as a young female, she should be able to come to school, right, expressing her own freedoms. And we didn't attack her. But why are we attacking the young men? The young men already need our support as a community.
I'm glad that you said that. I want to talk about it again. I want to take it there to mentorship. I want to take it to a traditional mindset. I want to take it to a position where politics in our community entirely has rejected the new direction, dare I say, new wave of how things are happening in this country and continue to cling on how things were in the yesteryear. We're talking politics. We're talking where we are and how we could be able to move forward from this particular juncture. I'm here live and in full effect, 96.9 FM radio. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including VAT, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, so I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Get ready, Bahamas. The Nations League is upon us. This Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m., our men's national team, the Junkanoo Boys, go head-to-head with Puerto Rico at the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Dive into the electric match day vibes. Secure your spot now. VIP tickets at $35 and drinks finger foods, premium seating, and exclusive benefits. Adults for $20 and children under 13 at just $10. Purchase tickets online at BahamasFA.net or in person at the NSA box office. Rally behind the Junkanoo Boys and don't miss out on this soccer spectacle.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right, order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
At Alive, we believe that every common loftier goal is within our reach. We believe in the essence of our identity, the richness of our history, and the boundless potential that lies within us. That's why our network is built by, owned by, and managed by us. Alive, believe in Bahamians. Visit BeAlive.com to take advantage of our golden independence deals. Alive, believe in best.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back in these last few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. The entire base of the conversation is talking about, one, winners and losers in the reshuffle. That was the first thing. Talking about the New Day transparency, whether or not this transparency should lead to patriotism coming to the forefront, or whether you're being spanked as a result of this freedom of information, whistleblowers, this sort of an act and position. I'm going to read one of these texts. This is Good Day. Howard. Good Day, like Howard would say, sir, you are wilding out. He said, you can't mention foreigners applying for citizenships and Cuban teachers who can't speak English in the same breath. We don't have enough Bahamians rushing to teach to prevent our dependency on foreign teachers. That's what they're saying right now. Talk to me about it real quick.
Well, you know, it all depends on the source of your education. If we don't have sufficient teachers here who want to go into the classrooms, you know, a lot of rude children, it's a little rough being a teacher, the salary ain't the best. There are other countries around the world that we can employ. To bring educators here that cannot speak English is defeating the purpose. So my thought to you, and this is wild, Howard. This is wild.
Cuba,
this is wild.
When I was in Cuba, these Cuban teachers, if they know English, don't speak that. When you are in foreign language class, when you get in the class and you step over, you ain't supposed to be speaking your language.
That's correct.
You ain't supposed to be speaking your language.
Oh boy.
You can't learn the next language by being able to speak Spanglish. You got to be able to keep consistent with what you have.
We just said out of 5,000 students, 500, eh? We just had that conversation the other day.
What does that mean, though?
You want to put another impediment on top of that now?
That isn't an impediment.
We're talking about communication. Basic communication. That's what we're talking about, eh? All I'm simply saying is that we're a Commonwealth country. We are part of the Commonwealth of Nations. India is a part of the Commonwealth of Nations. If you look at India, India got billions of people. They got people all day, all night. Those people are analytical in their nature. They can speak English. They can speak French and a couple other languages. But I know this much from the Indian people that I've met. In their analytical ability, these people love science, biology, physics, chemistry. Miss Bhatnagar from St. Augustine's College, she was from India. Let's talk about the periodic table. Huh? So how do I get so smart I had an Indian chemistry teacher. I'm not saying Bahamian teachers are not intelligent. I'm simply saying if you need a source of educators, go to the people who do extraordinary things, like India. India's trying to put a man on the moon. That's the type of people they are. India is top in agricultural science. Huh? India is top in terms of chemistry and medicines. All this bush medicine we got around here, let's get some of them in here and let's start producing some pills and some panaceas for the American people, eh?
India should be...
India could be a source, but I'm saying do not limit yourself just to Cuba and Jamaica and Barbados. The world is now a global society, man. Let's reach out, use your brain. We have politicians now going to Africa, they go into to England, they go into France, they go into Germany, they're going all over the doggone place on vacation. Why we can't get Indian people in here?
Let me take a telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, stay dumb.
Next call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, caller?
Good day. Everything is smooth?
Yeah, man. Go. What's happening?
Yeah. Right now, I appreciate you guys. Quite refreshing to hear Bahamian patriots speak so strongly and passionate about the Bahamas and the well-being of this nation and observing the stellos that has been happening throughout our history. Like the young lady that said, they send my landscape about and the corruption that's going on and destroying this Bahamas like piece by piece. But I want to jump around just for a quick second.
Go ahead.
Because like you say, like the men, how the young men are going through so much, there's a bunch of stuff. Like I overwhelmed with all the topics y'all brought up because they're all right on point.
Mm-hmm.
But to bounce around to get to my point, like you see how the teachers in school aren't being paid properly, so they're not passionate like back in the day. The teachers mm-hmm. and the pay rate and the price of living back in the day matched, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you have is you have a bunch of leaders that aren't getting paid correctly either. So therefore, and they're not NGOs. They're not proper negotiation. They don't have proper negotiating skills.
You are
so
violent.
He on point.
A thousand ass. And
you wilding out today.
Try to play ball with the big dogs.
Mm.
They only little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like, I agree with the teachers, and I wish they take a stand about putting air conditioning in these schools. Because if we have a prime minister that's going around and talking about global warming and this and that, right? Don't you? That means the Bahamas is getting hotter. So there should be legislation in places like these, schools, all these places. They need to be fully ventilated.
I like your telephone call, my brother. I got to let you go. I got two more telephone calls before we get to there. I like what he said.
I know in Minnesota, I was listening to the news yesterday, and in Minnesota, it was 90 degrees, and they had to let all the kids do school from home because they mm-hmm. said it was too hot. At 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. So imagine the temperatures now, right, we're here in the Bahamas, and we still have our kids in these environments without air conditioning.
The difference between us, Minnesota, Texas, and all those particular places is that we know perpetually this is the space that we live in. As an island nation, there should be more emphasis on creativity and building infrastructure and development, whether or not we should be able to introduce solar panels and sort the irrigation to see flow coming through. All these things, this is science, mm-hmm. you know, how you could be able to strategically put the building, where you put the building, where the breeze flowing, how the breeze could go through there. If you look at ancient Egyptians,
science,
right? They already had
science.
Air condition.
Science.
You could look at this. They already had air condition based upon the marble that they use and running water through. These things are simple.
Bring the scientists in.
The right decision.
That's what I said.
That's the last telephone call.
Caller,
you got 30 seconds. Go ahead. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead. Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? It's Alan.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, God.
Hey, my brother. Respect.
Do what you say concerning education. You must have a vision for education
that
ties into a greater vision for the country.
That's correct.
And that is what the lack is. So you can't. So you just be hiring teachers. But we have a whole list of things that don't work. We have an immigration system where it's unbalanced, where we just make so much citizens from one country instead of having a balance of mixture of citizens, of people. We try to get citizenship of intellectual capital to have into the country. We're just looking for low-wage workers. For Howard, have you taken the time to look at the most magnificent digital plan put out in the last 10 years called the Blueprint for Change?
I appreciate you.
That's a marvelous.
Go ahead, Howard, is that, let me give you one thing. Everyone knows my digital competence. The one thing I could give the opposition credit for is seeking, from not just for myself, I have other people in the circle, and seeking us out to understand the 21st century where we are. The government that's of today that has opportunity to do now what they're doing in the future, who can do it right now, is this government. Guess what? They have no interest. And I talk to many people. People think it's only me. I talk to many people in this community that think just like me. I represent the collective intelligence of all of us. I just happen to be the one that speaks.
See, Alan, where's this document that the opposition has?
I appreciate your telephone call. I got 3 seconds to get under here. See, I know he's going to talk more and more about that, but in this space, I don't never claim to be the oracle. I'm not. I am eager with the platform that I have to be able to talk about the information that I learn. And sometimes I gather this information externally because it's unfortunate, but Bahamian people give credential, certification, and sort of genuflect to external. And then you could say, hey, internally, there are people that have been doing that, but I just don't want to shove it down your throat. I have been to this thing. He's talking about this thing that I was to the other day. I have been to Own Bahamas. I've spoken to this gentleman by the name of Terrence McMahon. Yeah, you may have more information than him. You know, let me just talk about my experiences. Don't fight me for that. Let me read a couple more of these texts before we get there. It says, Garth says it ain't so. These preachers are wild, and kudos to Miss Ferguson. I hope that we haven't heard the last of her. Shine the light on the foolishness and stand up for the right. This is the text that's coming through.
Amen.
It says, interesting to hear. Let me see if I can read this before we get out of here with 2 seconds. Interesting to hear that Garth declared the very thing that I used to text you about, but you don't want to have a conversation about. It says, there are no Christians in the House of Assembly, nor has there ever been. Can't be, when none of these ever stood up to the blatant darkness and corruption, but every Sunday they out here worshiping in church rather than rebuked for sitting silent. For example, where is Minister Vaughn Miller's voice? Both parties playing games using religion for control. It's a text that's coming through. I think it's unfair to say it like that. I think that's absolutely unfair. I think that's absolutely unfair to be able to have a biased approach. I think it's unfair to have a conversation when people have their convictions in their position. The only thing that my responsibility is to do is to engage them. Kevin L.A. Newing was here the other day. The fella called me, and you go to Bahama Harvest? You don't pay tithes? They believe in tithes. Sir, I pay tithes. But that doesn't negate the fact that the word of God indicated one thing or the other. And all we're doing is studying to show ourselves approved. So that's that. Let me see if I can read one more text before we get out of here. Good day, gentlemen. I know Haitians right now on Abaco who have a Bahamian passport and can't speak a word of English. This is bananas.
I'm telling you.
This is bananas that they're saying this. This is, Mr. Grant, this is too much for me to read. I can't read that in 2 seconds. Howard, I agreed. I said, I did Italian in school. I don't know that she could speak English until the third year. Say, I did Italian in school. I didn't know the woman could speak English until the third year. It was total immersion. And now I speak it with the best.
Fluently. Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's the show today. Johnny, thank you so much for being here. Now, listen, since you're coming here, we're talking politics. I want to see you next week.
All right, then.
We can talk politics.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so very kindly for being able to join the show today with my good friend, Garth Roseborough. Gerard, definitely being able to come in the studio with us and being able to chop these things down. On Monday, watch me, on Monday, we're going to be sitting talking about education with none other than Jeffrey Lloyd. Oh, y'all need to stop it. We're going to have a good conversation on Monday with my good friend Jeffrey Lloyd, who's going to be in the studio with us, chopping these things down. You laugh, you need to stop. Right, guys? It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful weekend. If your wife stole your money from your wallet, no Kong salad for her. But if she didn't, make sure you treat her to something. Guys, have a beautiful weekend. We'll see you on Monday. God spare our lives. Have a great weekend, guys.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.